All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, we're here. Hopefully you are too. Nick, Barry, Joel. On a Thursday, pre-weekend edition of The Usual Suspects, we're glad we've got the trial out of the way. We're glad that we came out unscathed. People can get over the fact that sometimes organic things happen, and we don't really care. We're all, if you're here and I'm here, it's our time, and we're all under one big happy family.
That's right. I'm more impressed that somebody called and actually wanted to steal tickets to my show.
Yeah, apparently heard about that.
I didn't hear. Yeah, because somebody tweeted me, Brandon Hannon, and I was like, what are you talking about? Somebody jacked tickets. And then Tyler told me that a caller called and said he just showed up and was like, yeah, I won tickets. And they were like, oh, we don't have your name. Go ahead. And that's genius. I ain't mad at that. Why? I don't. Like, I'm not famous enough to get a door deal. So I just get a flat fee for the weekend. So you certainly didn't take any money out of my pocket, sir. And then they probably didn't care because you still got to show up and buy two drinks, which is, it's a two item minimum at the club. So
yep,
they ain't mad either, but good for you for getting in. Saved yourself 20 bucks.
I would have also thought that when the one listener said, I'm not going to be able to use my tickets, I'm going to leave them there.
Oh, they won't do that.
I thought that people would all go and try and claim those.
No, that was the ones that they gave back. So they just put those back in the rotation to sell again.
Okay.
That's, I wouldn't have the guts to do something like that. Can't do that.
Oh, props, yeah. I always tell props my wife that. Listen, I will go somewhere and I'll do something that I'm not supposed to do, like just walk in a back entrance or walk around the side. Right. Or something. My wife's like, what are you doing? I'm like, look, just follow my lead. Just act like you've been here. Act like you know what you're doing. And the majority of the time, people won't mess with you.
True.
You just walk, even like at the Rockets, if you just walk around acting like you know what you're doing, no one's saying anything to you. No one's saying a word to you. Now, if there's a specific door that's guarded, they might. But even then, sometimes you just walk by and be like, hey, how's it going? And just keep going like you know what you're doing.
Until you get an anti-Rockets take, and then the Dream Police will get you. They will nip you in the bud like you would not believe.
Yeah, they won't give you credentials.
Or, what? Yeah. Or they won't give you player access to players to cut billboards. It's all part of the deal.
Apparently so.
You can get a family picture, though, of James Harden and his big daddy, Tad Brown. You need that. That was out there when James got his All-Star jersey last night.
Oh, he got a... What do the jerseys look like? I didn't see them. Is that the black and white ones?
Yeah,
one. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How many days in a row are the Rockets going to run with these home jerseys? Which, by the way, I thought Raheel's take was the best take of all. He put a picture of the jersey on his Instagram, and he said, it's really nice to have a jersey that represents my hometown. Fail. Like, fail, Rockets. It was a big fail, this home jersey with Chinese lettering. Big fail. So, like, but I've seen them now 3 days in a row.
I mean,
I thought it was a once-in-a-while thing.
Well, I don't know. There was a limit to when you could debut it, which is why they said their Real City jersey was the Houston black jersey.
Liars.
Because, yeah, of course they are. But then, you know, Granato, who gets the side calls all the time for them trying to explain things that isn't true, goes and talks to Tad Brown, and all of a sudden he's like, no. I mean, our Asian exposure is huge. And, you know, we're still great in the Asian community. Okay, well, great. Well, then when you get to Shanghai, then you can make that your home jersey.
Yeah, then run, yeah.
Yeah, but until then,
yeah, last I checked, it wasn't the Asian market Rockets. It's the Houston Rockets.
And I'm pretty sure the ethnic background as a population for the city of Houston, Texas, is not dominated by Asian descent. It's
what? Who dominates?
It's all over.
Oh, I wanted you to pick one.
I know you did.
It wouldn't have mattered what you picked. I was going to roast you.
That's a shock. I mean,
yeah, it's a melting pot over here.
It really is. Right.
Houston is a very diverse town. And not that I mind if they had a jersey with that on there, with the Chinese lettering. I wouldn't care as much, but they did. They can say what they want. But when Nike released all of the jerseys, or no, actually it wasn't even Nike. It was the guy on ESPN that does the jersey reviews. What's his name?
Darren Revelle.
No, there's another dude that like does jerseys on ESPN, but he's the one that dropped the initial link on his like Instagram or Twitter or whatever and showed all of them.
Yep.
And that's what they showed for the Rockets because people were like, what the hell? Like, no one would have gotten mad if it just said Houston and it was a black jersey. No one would have cared.
There's just too much money, I guess, coming from that market, so they don't care. I mean, to me, it's just a money-based. At least they're kind of honest about it. They're saying there's a big market over there, and they're taking advantage of it.
Well, great, then move over there and become the Shanghai
Rockets.
That's
what I said.
I wouldn't want them to move over there.
Well, I mean, if you're not going to have a city jersey.
Covering the games would be harder for you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to fly over there.
Your locker room access would be limited.
Guys, we've got to be out right at 4 o'clock. I need to be in Shanghai by 7.
Yeah, I got to be back by Saturday morning. So I'm going to have to get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't like the jerseys just as much as anybody else. Like, if you like them, that's cool. But I don't really like them that much. But I just don't. I guess it's all about the money for them. And that's the only explanation.
It's a cash grab. There's no doubt about it. And when you look at them, I don't know the specific meanings of the letters on the jersey, nor do I think most.
It should be Houston and Rockets, right?
One of them looks like a Rocket.
Right.
That's all I can tell you.
Jose Castillo has a good point. He said they probably wore them last night because it was Chinese New Year.
I'll take that.
Yep. Valid point, Jose. But that would have made 3 days in a row now.
Yep.
And if you knew that Chinese New Year was on the 14th, then why not just wait and do a double, hey, this is our Houston, this is our city jersey,
but it's
Chinese New Year. That's why we had it made, guys.
No, all these players come from different families with different beliefs. So you have to get Chinese New Year's Eve, Chinese New Year's Day, and then maybe Christmas Eve and Christmas Day if those were close by too. So you got to cover the gamut. You got to make sure you got them all covered.
Sure, sure.
I think.
Right?
Oh, boy.
Hmm.
I mean, look, it's a straight cash grab. It's ridiculous. I mean, look, for as much as Chinese lettering on the jerseys were appropriate, then you could have made them rainbow. You could have done so many different things, but don't try and feed me a line of crap. And then, like I said, you get all these bloggers out there who claim to be journalists in the media when they're really just glamorized fans trying to hide behind a media moniker.
Lamont.
You know who I'm talking about. And in this case, it's not Lamont. There are other guys that cover the team on a daily basis just so that they can go to dinner with Daryl Morey and Tad Brown so that they can give the pro-Rocket spin on everything. Bottom line is, call it like you see it. And you don't have to, you know what? If it's more important for you guys to be friends, then sit with a ticket. But if you want to cover it with a press pass, then be objective. It's as simple as that.
Now, that said, these boys are balling out.
No doubt. And you know what?
Best team in basketball.
Well, they are.
And the
first time in the history of the franchise going into the All-Star break, they have the best record, not just in the West, which they do, but because the West is superior to the East. They have the best record in basketball by a half game because Golden State lost a game late night if anybody stayed up. But look, people were on ESPN this morning. Well, they didn't really blow the Kings out. We've talked about it on this program over and over again. You play to the level of your competition. You're on the second night of a back-to-back.
You got in late.
You got guys that aren't going to play. You got guys you're trying to get in. And these things happen. But you know what? At the end of the day, did they lose?
Nope.
Perhaps they tapered off in the end of the game like they've done in the past. But this is a situation where they didn't have an explosive first quarter.
No Eric Gordon, no Trevor Ariza, no Nene. You run a Tarik Black out there for the second team. You got a Joe Johnson that has no idea how to fit into this offense right now.
Well, he does know D'Antoni's offense, which is probably why he played as before Brandon Wright.
But has he ever run in the offense with two point guards? That makes it a little bit different.
Well, he's got to adjust to the player, sure, but at least he knows, like, where, depending on where the ball is, where to go. Because for his first make was just a beautifully executed off ball slide to the corner to get that three.
The first make after how many misses and a couple of ill advised passes and. I mean, I'm not dogging Joe Johnson, but he didn't have a great game.
No.
And it's just because he's new. He's new to the offense. He's new to the team. There's no chemistry. But that's part of why you probably saw them struggle a little bit. Those were Eric Gordon's minutes.
Right.
So
at least he does want to be here. I think there was a report out there that said Chris Paul reached out to him, wanted him on the team. So
they said it during the broadcast.
Are they?
When they were talking about it, they said that as soon as he found out that he was bought out, Chris Paul called him immediately.
That's awesome.
And said, we want you to come to the Rockets.
Before it was even like the buyout, when it was rumored that he was going to get released, Paul reached out to him. And then he said
that
in
makes
his postgame.
That makes me have a question, though. Is that just Chris Paul doing that? Or does Chris Paul have to touch base with Daryl Morey first? Because that's fine, but now are you going to let Chris Paul dictate who comes and who doesn't come to the Rockets?
It's not dictating who comes.
How do you think Chris Paul got to
it's
the Rockets? James Harden went to Chris Paul and said, I want you to play for the Rockets.
But I don't know if that was the situation where Chris Paul was dictating the move. He was just, he knew the team was going to make that move, and so he reached out to a new
position. That was my question. Yeah. Did he do that on his own, or did he already know? Had he already been in contact with Daryl Morey? And Morey said, well, yeah, we're going to pursue Joe Johnson if he becomes available.
I believe that probably the latter, what you just said, that he had some sort of idea that Joe Johnson was coming to the team, and he thought he'd be professional and reach out. That's how I look at it.
Because it's a slippery slope to start reaching out to players that maybe the GM hasn't even discussed as bringing on board yet. If you're just out there, hey, come on, and then they're like, yeah, I want to do it. The GM's like, we don't want that dude. He doesn't fit our scheme or whatever.
I would say this. Look, on both sides of the ledger, Daryl Morey, no doubt, went to guys that knew him to say, and I've seen it happen, where they go to a guy, like for instance, when they got Josh Smith, the minute the Pistons released Josh Smith, before they even made contact, they went to Dwight Howard, who grew up with him, and said, good dude, bad dude, would he fit? Can we, you know, is it a good thing to do? And Dwight's like, I'll call him right away. Now, on the other side of the ledger, it also allows you to collude without being caught for it, because Daryl's not picking up the phone before he's even officially released.
Players can talk
when
to each other.
When players do it, anytime. It's legal. So they're already planting the seed without starting the gardening, for lack of a better term. But the fact of the matter is that I'm sure that there was some sort of a discussion. I don't know if there was one with Chris Paul this summer. That could have been just James going, look, I want you to play with us. And if you're interested legitimately, then we can get with our GM to make it happen. Because I don't think Daryl was kicking it with James in L.A. in the offseason, and I don't know how much conversation went on, but I'm sure at some point there was a phone call. But the bottom line is, that's the easiest way to get around all the NBA rules. Just have the players talk to him. And and he said
that's why I'm
he never
curious.
Considered anybody else.
Who, Morey?
Joe Johnson in the locker room last night said, I never considered anybody else. This is where I wanted to be. They even were kicking the tires going, what if you don't play? He goes, I don't care. At this stage in my career, this is where I wanted to be. It's a chance to win. This team is playing great. I know the system because of D'Antoni. And look, he it's only going to get better with him. And you hope, like, because you highlighted this year, he's having a down year from three. But he's not going to get as many open looks in Utah as he's going to get in Houston because of the way the ball
moves. And the volume will help. And they mentioned that on the broadcast last night, which does make a lot of sense. He wasn't playing much. And if he's playing more and he's getting more shots, chances are, we always talk about guys like Ryan Anderson we talk about Mike Fiers, how he had a badass July, but you can expect Mike Fiers to regress to the mean. Well, sometimes that works the other way. If a guy's having a down year, once he gets more minutes, you can expect him to rise to what his number normally is. Now, is he going to shoot almost 40%? Maybe not, but he's going to shoot better than 27.
Well, it's just like...
And that's what I think they're banking on.
It's also just like, you know, are you used to shooting threes in a scrimmage situation where guys are running at you from all over the place? Or do you shoot a better percentage when you're warming up before a game and you're just sitting there on the line free stroking with no one around you? Because that's essentially what it's going to be like with the Rockets. They got to defenses have to spend so much time worried about James Harden, Chris Paul. Look at guys, Lukumba, Mute, they all get wide open looks. Ryan Anderson, you know?
Yep.
Now he's got to make them. He gets plenty of looks, even from Galveston and Sugarland. All right, well, we're just getting started on the big show. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, or you can hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We'll be continuing to move around and cover a variety of topics. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, you can join us. Also, remember, this is a Thursday, so Thursday, 2:30, our man Mo is going to come in here and talk about some healthy food, some diet, some things you can do to stay on the beaten path of the weight loss challenges. We continue with that as well, and we'll probably talk about that a little bit along the way. Just getting started, please feel free to buckle up, fasten in, sit back and relax. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, just getting it going in hour number one of the three-hour extravaganza we call The Big Show. Barry, Nick, and Joel on hand here at the palatial Gal Media Studios.
Real quick, before we get back into the Rockets or whatever, I just got to give a shout out again to Patrick Randall. Happy wife, happy life. Okay. And the wife came home with her flowers yesterday, mm-hmm. which, again, I didn't order until the very last minute because I didn't know she was getting me anything. But she came home, and when Patrick delivered them, I guess he delivered them himself, but he left her not just the, like the vase with the flowers in them, which it was the, she said they were beautiful flowers, and the whole, I guess the reception area, she left them up there, and that's, she said the whole place smelled great, but he, there's a box that they put them in. So when the, it's not just the vase, it's like a box. She was like, I didn't have to do anything, like hold them between my feet on the drive home. You just set the box on the floor and it never spilled or whatever. She was more impressed with that than anything, that she was able to get them home with no problem. So that was pretty cool. So thank you to him and Monica's Touch of Glitz Flowers. But it's not that he just came through for me. If you guys saw Eric Resendez's tweet, mm-hmm. he's like, could you guys please thank Patrick Randall? Because he tweeted us yesterday that something got screwed up. He had ordered flowers. They never got delivered. So I told him on Twitter, dude, hit up P. Dizzle. P. Randizzle will hook you up and get the flowers out there. And he did. So he was like, dude, please thank him because he saved my life yesterday. And Eric wouldn't have got laid without Patrick. So good for Patrick
good
coming
for
through
Patrick.
For a listener, helping him have some sexy time on Valentine's. Good job, buddy.
Good job, P. Randizzle. Yeah. Now we'll have our salespeople contacting you to start sponsoring the show.
Yeah, exactly.
That. So we appreciate you. Yeah, so Valentine's Day in the rear view now as we continue.
Did your night go well?
Yeah, everything was great except for the fact, like I said, I mean, she's got to get to bed early. And
yeah,
I thought it was funny that Toro was in the studio yesterday and gave her a flower and then he tried to like mug down with her. And mm-hmm. so Darby Douglas sent it to me and I was like, that's some bull. But I said, but then I said, Toro better be careful. I'll be making steaks this weekend.
Right?
Yeah. Just having some fun.
I screwed up last night.
Uh-oh.
On Valentine's Day?
Yeah, not a good day to do it.
Made the steaks sous vide style. They were amazing, juicy, delicious. And we don't like baked potatoes. We're not fancy like that. We like those instant mashed potatoes.
Oh, that's... No.
You don't like those?
I don't like the fake mashed potatoes.
The Idahoan that come in the red bag.
Negative.
And you just boil the water.
It.
You dump the powder in.
Oh, it's easy.
You mix it up. Boom.
Couldn't be easy.
Mashed potatoes.
Don't like the taste.
Bacon in them. Cheese, that's all there already. No, you don't have to do anything.
That's one thing I prefer homemade.
Oh, we love them. So that's what we made. And then we had that Texas toast, garlic toast that you just throw on a...
Oh, those like are a, great.
Yeah,
no, those, I love
you
those.
You buy frozen, they're already buttered
yep.
and everything.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what we had last night. And I nailed it. I got... it was all delicious and amazing. I had a beer cold in the fridge for her when she got home to have with her steak. Just knocking it out the park. Got in bed, turned the Olympics on, and fell asleep.
Not a boy.
I woke myself up snoring. I went,
that's how a champion finishes, Nick.
Yeah.
That is a champion finishing the game.
I woke up when I was like, oh, my bad, baby. And I just rolled over and went back to bed. That just ruined Valentine. She was like, that's all right. And I was like, well, you know, this weekend we're going to go shopping and buy our gifts. So I'll try to make up for it then. Totally screwed it up, though.
Well, it could have been a lot. It could have ended a lot worse. At least you got the dinner right and the fake mashed potatoes and the Texas toast.
But I had a little bit of Crown and Diet Coke last night with dinner. Had a couple of them and it did me in. I was more tired than I realized, and then drank that Crown and it was over.
That'll do
it.
Soon
as my head hit that pillow, ow!
Yeah, that'll put you in La La Land in a hurry if you're already feeling a little bit.
Yeah,
it'll relax you. Now she drinks beer.
Yep. Okay. Dos Equis. That's her beer of choice.
Minchilada?
Nope.
Not a Minchilada person?
Nope. She'll drink Dos Equis. And, like, I tried to get her to drink Crown or some other stuff. She will drink, like, vodka cranberries. She likes martinis. You know, the foo-foo-y stuff.
Foo-foo,
but
yeah.
She'll drink, yeah, she likes to come home.
Umbrella optionals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, like, if we're having steaks or whatever, she'll drink a beer with it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, so we were talking about the Rockets and the fact that now it's the All-Star break, and it's going to be a long one. It's 8 days before we'll see the Rockets on the floor again. I don't know what else can be said from a Houston perspective other than that you got to just be ecstatic where your team is and the fact that with a game that I really wish, just for the sake of anybody that loves basketball, last night's Portland-Golden State game turned out to be one hell of a game that no one will end up seeing. But when Durant had 50... And Damon Lillard had 44.
Man.
And then the Blazers did the Rockets a favor and beat Golden State. Your Rockets are sitting at the number one spot in all of basketball, a half game up on the competition, looking down on everybody else going, yeah, life's pretty good.
And it's a team that defensively, like last night I was watching the end of the game and I did notice that they weren't scoring. The Rockets, just their shot wasn't falling. They were missing threes a lot. But what I noticed, D'Antoni made a switch and he went with most of that power lineup that you talked about from a defensive standpoint. At one point, it was James Harden leading the squad, but then it was Capella and Bamute, Joe Johnson, and PJ Tucker on the floor all at the same time. And I thought, well, you know, if Ariza's there, he's probably out there in place of Joe Johnson. But Joe Johnson could still play a little bit of defense. So, but it's funny, he went to a mostly defensive lineup because he thought, well, if we're not going to make it and we've got an 8-10-point lead, the least we could do is kind of hold on to that lead, which is what they did.
That's smart coaching, plus yeah. You're coming off a back-to-back, like I said. And even if guys didn't play that much, what people, I think, fail to realize is, regardless of whether you have your own plane or not, which everybody does these days, and they travel privately and everything like that, it's the distance you're traveling. You're coming back from Minneapolis, and you got to wrap up all the, you know, by the time they all shower, do the media, wrap up all the gear, everything's on one plane. It's not like football, and everybody leaves at the same time. They probably get back into Houston 3-ish, 2:33 in the morning. Yeah. Then you got to get your bag off the plane, and you got to get home, and you got to settle in, and you come back. Guys are going to be tired. Legs are going to be a little less, you know, fresh. So you just win the games, and that's all that matters. And so the fact that they were able to do that, and like you said, they orchestrated it by kind of being careful and putting a lineup out there that wasn't going to give the lead away and just hang on, took care of business, did what you got to do, you move on. The thing that I'm really going to be curious about, because you mentioned the fact that with Chris Paul, with that Players Association thing, the referees are going to be meeting, they're going to be working on that stuff. This is also a time where it used to be general managers are talking, trying to orchestrate trades. We're already past the trade deadline because they moved it up a little bit. So now it's going to be buyouts. And it's going to be interesting to see if any other guys, there's a lot of guys that are going to want to play for contending teams. And one guy that I saw this morning that's worth asking you guys about has popped up that no one, I don't think, had on their radar. But he's mentioned he only wants to play with one of the top three teams in the NBA. And we all know where the Rockets sit. So that's one we'll kick around after the break. I'll throw it your way and let you guys chime in. How about that?
Yep.
All right. So there you go. We'll continue to roll on, talk a little basketball. The pitchers and catchers are still throwing. So that means that spring training is still underway. The rest of the squad shows up on Monday for their first workout in Florida. So Astros, it'll get there. But we've got plenty of other stuff to get to. And if there's something you want to chime in with, please feel free to join us. 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back in just mere minutes on The Usual Suspects at ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, half hour into the first hour of the three-hour extravaganza. Barry, Nick, Joel in studio. You checking the text line.
Yeah, somebody said, hey, so I always hear you talk about Crown and Diet Coke. I'm assuming they're talking to me because they didn't put a name. But you're not a Crown and Diet Coke guy, so I'm guessing, and neither is Nick. So
I'm a Crown guy, certainly not a Diet Coke guy.
So I always hear you talk about Crown and Diet Coke, so I decided to try it. I went to Nick's place, and I decided to order one. Worst thing I could have done. First, the waitress laughed at me, and my friends murdered me for getting it. So let's just say I'm drinking that at home from now on. Aha! But you're burying the lead. It was delicious, wasn't it? And so you said, he didn't say, and not only that, it was gross. What he said was, now I drink it at home.
I don't know if it's delicious.
It is delicious. Like whiskey with soda.
I'm with him.
Whiskey with soda is really good.
Yep. Yeah. Always.
No, with soda, yeah, but not with
either
Diet
Coke
soda.
Or Diet Coke.
I used to always do with Diet Coke.
Like, Coke now is too sweet for me. I've been, because I started drinking Diet Coke many, many years ago when I was my biggest. I thought, I've got to stop drinking. I was drinking Dr. Pepper, like, a case every 2 days.
Best soda ever.
And I was like, I've got one way that I can really start to control my weight is to switch to diet soda and not the fat and the sugar and the regular soda. So that was many, many years ago that I switched. And now it's been so long that regular soda is too sweet.
Yeah, see, I always thought whoever does Crown and Diet Coke or drink and Diet Coke, it's not necessarily because it's delicious. It's just it tastes good enough without all the calories.
No, it makes the whiskey. It gives the whiskey a different flavor. It actually sweetens up the whiskey, and it tastes really good.
The diet does.
Yeah. That's the diet does as well.
You would think that, you know.
Regular would. No, yeah. The diet makes it taste like really good.
Okay.
I don't know why, but it does. And you've said so as well, right? You've had the whiskey and diet.
Yep.
Good stuff. Somebody asked me, how do I make my steaks? So I used to grill them, medium rare, but then I got that sous vide, which is just this thing that warms up the water. And then you put the steak. I get a big chili pot, and then I fill it with hot water so you don't have to wait forever for the sous vide to warm it up. Put the little sous vide thing in the water. It looks like an outboard motor, to be honest with you, but without the propeller. It's just this big, thick, okay, that got weird. But it's just this thing you put in the water. Don't isolate that. I knew it. And you didn't even have to say anything.
Didn't say a word.
So you put it in the water, and it warms the water to a certain temperature. I think for steaks, medium rare, for ribeyes, you put it at 129. And then you let it sit for an hour, and you basically put the steaks. I season them with Worcestershire and the seven spice from Saltgrass. Throw them in a Ziploc baggie. Attach it to the side of the thing with like a paper clip or... Not paper clip, but those binder clips. Just clip the bag to the side so that it's in the water and let it sit for an hour. Pull it out, sear it on a cast iron skillet. It's the best steak you'll ever eat, I promise you. And people make fun of it because I always joke about
people
it.
People or AJ?
A lot of people, actually. Because I was one of those guys. I was like, I ain't boiling no steak. And then I got that machine and made one. Oh, it's ridiculously good. The best, most evenly cooked, juiciest steak you'll ever eat.
Okay.
Hands down.
Got that, Nick?
I did. I don't know. I'd probably try it. I do appreciate the evenly cooked part because I'm pretty bad at that on the grill.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I just like the taste of the grill, but I'll try it one of these days.
I'm going to make Toro like that.
Sous-vide Toro?
Yeah. I'm going to take care
hands off, Toro.
That's what I'm going to do.
That's hilarious.
And there will be no George Foremaning Toro. We're going to do it the right way.
Somebody else tweeted and said, last night, Bill Walton said that the NBA officials are the best by far. Comparing them to the other sports, do y'all agree? That was
not there. This year.
Okay.
Because I used to have to sit through, in the broadcast meetings for the NBA, we would have to sit through a full half, almost a full day with the actual game officials where they try and blame everything negative said about them on the broadcasters for the teams. They show highlights and clips of where you accuse the official of being wrong, and then they grill you in front of your peers. And then there's a whole clinic in terms of what's coming up this year in terms of rule changes and how right they were. In years past, I would say they have the toughest job of the three. And I would say that they've always been really, really good. This year, I can't say that. Now, I can't say it for football either because this year it was call after call after call that was also being grilled there. And we all know baseball, strike zone, we're going to go back and forth. The NBA officials, the game happens at a fast pace. Football and basketball, same kind of thing to some degree. But I would say this year I can't say that.
I can't. I would say baseball to me year in and year out is the better officiating crew.
Okay.
And I think the reason is because, one, everybody has a station. Where in the NBA, you have rotations and they added the third official, but there's still, I think, sometimes a blind spot. Like if a player's down low and you've got something happening on both sides of the court, I think in football, it's the same thing. You've got six guys watching 22 guys and they're watching an area. So they're not always, you know, how many holds don't get called? How many travels don't get called? They've eliminated the in the area out at second base when you're turning two. So that kind of was the baseball version of never calling holding or never calling a travel. But I think for the most part, and you can argue balls and strikes, but I think for the most part, Major League Baseball umpires are probably more accurate than the other two. And I don't have anything to back that up, just my eye test and watching the different games. But I just feel like that they usually get it right more often than not.
Nick, what do you think?
Are you comparing officiating in the three sports?
I'm not adding
three
soccer or hockey.
Yeah, just three major sports.
Or MMA.
Although I know you like to break down the NHL.
There's more to mess up, I feel like, in NBA officiating. And I think that's why I kind of agree with Barry. And I think there's a lot more to mess up in NFL officiating. There's just way too many rules. So, I mean, granted, I probably lack the knowledge on baseball. I feel like it's just harder to mess up in MLB. But anybody wants to differ, you know, 713-780-3776, that's just my personal opinion. There's a lot more rules. What I want to know is who has the thickest rule book. Yeah. I would imagine it's the NFL, but who is bigger between the NBA and the MLB? And that's just me assuming that the NFL has the biggest rule book.
Assume that everybody reads it. Yeah. You know, I think in most cases, because they've gotten to be where they're all the size of a Bible now, that they just worry about new additions to the rule book and rule changes that they go through with the competition committees. But I do give the NBA credit that they all put everybody in a room together to try and get there to be a better understanding from both sides, because it used to be the officials came in with venom. They wanted to make you look silly in front of the entire room to realize that you are always wrong, they are always right. Then they had to get a little humble pie, too, and realize, hey, with this last two-minute ruling thing that comes out with the transparency of the NBA, you're going to get called out a lot for calls you missed in blue, too.
Yeah, and not only that, but they can't even get on the same page when it comes to what's a foul and what isn't. Like, this whole continuation thing this year looks bad. And yes, I get it that strike zones in the majors feel it seems like they vary from umpire to umpire, but I think if you looked at the numbers, it really doesn't. It's really not as bad as people would lead you to believe. It's just that when you get into a game, you see that over and over in that game, as opposed to throughout the year. Because it might just be that, I mean, again, if you look at a guy like Jose Altuve and they think, oh, well, that guy, they never call strikes on that guy. Yeah, he's 5'4". The strike zone on Altuve is different than the strike zone on Aaron Judge, so you've got to take that into account, too. A ball might look like it's right down the middle, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's chest high to Altuve. So there's that variance, but I feel like overall, all of them do a decent job, but like if I were to rank them, I would say that the majors do the best job overall at being the most consistent and getting the calls right.
Baseball?
Baseball. Then the NBA and then the NFL. And I think that some of that has to do with the fact that, again, even in the NBA, they're outnumbered. It's three guys watching an area on the court. And when you're watching an area and not watching the actual play, it can be more difficult as opposed to baseball, where everybody's watching their base. They've got guys in the outfield. I mean, it's a whole different dynamic.
We've seen too with the NBA, and it was a Rockets game. Remember when Harden, the Boston game in Boston, when the one referee was hurt and they didn't have a fill in?
Oh yeah, that was a bad
how game. Difficult it is to call this. Yeah. It used to be the norm that you had two officials. Now, can you imagine NBA basketball night in, night out with all the problems they've already had if they only had two officials?
Used to be two? Wow.
Man, it would be ugly.
Yeah.
And there'd be a lot, like there was, there'd be a lot more fighting and stuff too, because you can't possibly see all that's going on.
You got a guy now that's pretty much watching the low block, and when they start to bumping and banging, and it's stopped a lot earlier.
Yeah, so that would have made it crazy. I mean, last night, for example, they threw both Isaiah Thomas and Rajon Rondo out in the first half. Gave him double tees, I think, in the first quarter, and then threw him out. And the thing was, if you only had two officials, you would have missed a majority of that. You probably would have just said, guys, easy, go back to your benches, and it's cool. But they were able to kind of get ahead of it and make sure it didn't control the entire game and really get out of hand. But they tossed them both because they had three officials on the floor.
Yeah.
But that was funny, too, because Rondo was basically sending a message because Paul Pierce is his boy. They said throughout the time that Isaiah Thomas got on the court, it was about you didn't need a tribute video and you know, you shouldn't have been honored by a team you did nothing for. And then I guess they hit him in the
face.
Haters
gonna hate. Yeah. Lauren Pope said, Barry, Nick, you pansies, you're not supposed to put anything in the whiskey. And then Nick was like, I drink my neat. All right, well, why don't you suck up to the listeners?
I'm not. I drink it.
I'm keeping it real.
In case you didn't know, that was Barry's rock hard chest he was pounding.
Ow. Brett Guidry said, can you evenly cook a Hot Pocket sous vide? Damn it, Brett, no. I mean, I guess you could. Don't try it, though. It'll get soggy because sometimes you get a little water in the bag. You don't want a soggy-ass Hot Pocket.
Oh, okay. So it never happens to the steak, though?
No, sometimes you'll get water in there.
Really?
Doesn't matter.
It still tastes good?
You just drain the water out because when you put it on that cast iron skillet, to grill.
Ah.
That stops all that. And actually, you can either put it on a skillet, like a cast iron or skillet, or you get the blowtorch. And you can just...
Because everybody's got one of those under the sink.
Yeah, right.
I got a Bunsen burner ready to go.
Just go making creme brulee all the time.
Got done doing my science project in high school. Now I'm going to just Bunsen whoop burner. Up some steaks.
Do they even make those anymore?
Yeah. I think so. Well,
every science class in America
I still have to have them, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
I learned nothing from that Bunsen burner. Legs. What did you learn from the Bunsen burner?
I learned that you can set stuff on fire and then get in trouble. I learned that.
Yeah, I got in
you
trouble
can
with
do some work
burner.
With a Bunsen burner.
I made crack in chemistry. No, I didn't do that.
You couldn't get the balance. The pH balance was throwing you off.
I did fail chemistry, which is bad because my mom's a chemistry teacher. Oh, but that had, she was so proud.
Chemistry is the worst subject ever.
Stupid. I've never used it. If you're not going to be a drug dealer, why have math and chemistry class?
Yeah.
It's only helping you be a drug dealer. That's it.
Joel's just
I'm like, Nick, why'd you give it up? You've talked about that. All right, Michael, we're going to get to you at some point, probably in the next segment, probably right off the top, so don't go anywhere. Also, I'm going to throw that question at you guys. There is still a player lingering out there that's a former All-Star. No one's been talking about him till now because he put his name out there and said he'll only play with one of the top three. If you're a Rockets fan, do you want him on your squad? I love this team enough that we got to talk about it next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to the big shows. We're almost done with hour number one, and we continue to roll on. Yeah, sure did.
He always asks us a question that goes, hot!
Yep.
Is that how they spell it, hot?
In the break. Healthy gourmet, he's calling it.
No, you do spell it that way. You just pronounce it differently. But you said, is that how you spell it? Before I could say yes, Barry's like, no, it's pronounced gourmet.
Hot!
He went, hot, and he went.
Yeah. The best time to mess with me is right before break when I'm trying to, like, fire something off.
Yeah.
And then I'm just not paying attention.
At least you're not like Tyler, because I would do that to him on game day on Sundays. He would get so pissed.
Really?
Wait, Tyler gets upset about that?
Oh, he's like a dad. He's got such a short temper. He'll be in there doing something, and I would talk in his ear. He'd be like, hold on. It's like, all right, Dad, you can't do two things at once. Like, I've got to listen to you and still talk on the radio, and you're in our ear going, 5 seconds, you got to go to break. You got to reach this. You got to do it. But we managed to do it okay.
But I don't annoy you when I'm talking to you.
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Tyler. I mean, yeah, you're annoying, but no, Tyler is who I'm talking about.
But you got to understand, Barry, Tyler is a creative type. He's so creative that sometimes the creative types get emotional when you interrupt their creative flow.
That's true. He does come up with a lot of good ideas.
When they're in their element, you can't take them out of it.
I will say I have seen him come up with ideas, not just for our show, but other shows. Mm-hmm. We'll be out there and he'll go, hey, you should do this. And it's like, damn, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
So he is creative. I will give him that. But he's also just an angry dad. He's just a grumpy old man.
He's an angry dad without kids.
Without a kid.
That's always a good combo.
Jesus texted and said, the sweeteners in Diet Coke cause the alcohol you mix it with to go in your bloodstream faster. I switched to Diet Coke and Crown after reading this, and he sent the article link. So basically, if you add Diet Coke to your whiskey, it'll get you drunk faster.
I didn't know
that. I don't know why you would want to do that, though.
Depends on the
circumstances. You're drinking whiskey. How long does it take to get smashed?
Nick, depends on what your goal is. You know you don't want to do it. You'd rather do it with a hell of a buzz quickly than kind of waiting for it to kick in while you stumble.
He's got a point.
That's why you drink it neat, like a man.
Yeah, you've got a point too. Okay. Yeah, you said it.
Yeah,
I can't do Crown straight neat. I can't do it. I can do Scotch, but I can't do like whiskey.
Yeah, if it's brown, I can drink it neat. I don't give a damn.
Really?
Yeah.
So crap water is right down here.
Yep. Neat.
Get you straight, a nice hot glass of crap water.
Did he say something he wasn't supposed to say?
I stopped at mid-sentence, but it sure did sound bad. Hey, with that, let's get Michael in here to talk about officiating.
Oh, my gosh.
Michael, what's up?
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing today?
Michael, don't cuss. We got to let the dump button regenerate, so be careful.
Got to breathe.
Yeah.
No. I'm good. Barry, I do agree with your point that Major League Baseball probably does have the better officiating, but that's because nothing happens off the ball. In the NBA, you have so many things that happen off the ball, screens, et cetera. Same thing in football. You can only do a run play. It may be going to the left, but the right guard may be holding.
Yep.
So in giving that, I would probably say the NBA probably has the better officiating off the ball. But on the ball, I definitely agree with you on Major League Baseball.
Great points, Michael. Thanks for the call,
good
man.
Good call, Mike.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
The only thing
point.
I can
That's
say in terms of off
great,
the ball is if
observation.
You've got a guy on the base paths and you're watching a balk.
But again, every umpire
has his own.
Yeah,
an area.
And it's the home plate umpire that'll call the balk because it's only the only thing going on right now is if there's a like a runner on second, the second base umpire is watching the pickoff play. So usually the first base umpire and the home plate umpire are watching the move, the wind up and everything to call the balk. So plenty of coverage, and it's a great point, and that might be why it feels like they're more accurate. Because there's not as much going on to get messed up to begin with. So there was one tweet that I wanted to Greg, the beer man Greg said, I bet because you were asking about the rule book, who maybe had the thickest rule book.
Right. I saw that tweet. Yeah.
He said, I bet the unwritten rule book in baseball is thicker than most rule books from other sports. There is a lot. There is a whole lot of unwritten rules in baseball that you have to remember. So that's a hell of a point, too.
Yeah. Like when you're supposed to like ding a batter or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. When you can retaliate, when you can't, what you, how you're supposed to celebrate a home run or not celebrate. A home run or whatever. Yeah.
A bat flip.
Yeah.
A lot of that. When Lance and John get that guy that calls in that is all about the bat flip.
Oh, is there a guy that calls?
Yeah, he started it. I want to say, third baseman that played for the Angels last year that was a former Astro. Why can't I think of his name?
Luis Valbuena.
Valbuena.
Yeah.
When Valbuena started doing it, this guy started calling in to talk about the bat flip.
Yeah, Valbuena's been doing that.
And it got worse, more demonstrative when he got to the Angels last year.
No, you know what it is. It just feels worse when it's on the other team. When it's your team, when you're an Astros fan and you watch Luis Valbuena do it, you're like, ah, that's nothing. But when it's the other team, you're like, dude, really? Why are you being such an a-hole? Stop flipping the bat like that. Because I remember watching him trying to be objective as an Astros fan and going, oh, man, that was kind of disrespectful the way he did that. It's a single. Why are you flipping the bat on a single? Because he don't care. He'll do it.
No, he doesn't. You're right.
Yeah, it could be punching Judy can of corn. He's flipping it.
And the guy calls in.
Oh, he does?
And he goes, make sure you don't say bat flip. It's bat flip. And it's good stuff. It's very good stuff. All right, so let me get this out of the way before we get done with the first hour of the show. I wanted to ask you guys. Chris Bosch comes out today on First Take. And they said, are you done? And he said, not only am I not done, I've been working out him in the gym. And they said, so next year? And he said, no, this year, if the right team calls, and he goes, and of course the offer has to be right, which I think doesn't fit the Rockets category in terms of being a fit. But he said, I would play for one of the top three teams in the league. And he said that Toronto, in his mind, and going back to Toronto, would come before Cleveland in the East. But obviously the top two, Golden State and Houston, we know that Daryl Morey has long had a love affair with Chris Bosh. You kick the tires on that?
I don't think I do. I don't think they're in a position where they need that much more depth in that regard. I mean, how old is he now? How long has he been away?
Well, the big thing
almost
to me,
two seasons at least.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about this Rocket team seems desperate enough to make you want to do that? They just captured the best record in the NBA going into the All-Star break. There's no team with a better record. Why would you need to go out and add a guy like that?
And aren't the Rockets kind of kicking the tires already with the new additions and Joe Johnson and Brandon Wright?
So here's my deal. They are, but you got a chance to add an All-Star caliber player that was an 11-time All-Star.
An All-Star caliber player.
But here's the bigger thing to me, and you and I were talking about this, Nick, prior to the show. You got to get a doctor that's going to approve that this guy is going to be okay to play because it's a blood clotting issue, because it's going to be heart related, because the NBA is obviously a high cardiovascular sport. You got to realize from a lot of perspectives, Barry, which Chris Bosh are you getting? And is he capable of playing in the NBA again? Because the last thing you want to do is get a guy that all of a sudden gets acclimated to your system that's playing his ass off, and then some kind of a tragedy hits or some kind of a hiccup in the road, and God forbid it's not life-threatening, but you go, now that could throw your team for a loop, because now suddenly you're starting to rely on him. He's starting to play better, and something could happen too. So
by the
I'd be careful on that.
By the time the playoffs roll around, he'll be 34 years old. Mm-hmm. He hadn't played since the 2015-2016 season, which he almost averaged 20 points a game that season. That's great with Miami. But, yeah, the fact that he's been gone for 2 years, he's going to be terribly out of shape. You know how long.
Barry, the church leagues are good these days.
It would probably take him by the time they either get bounced from the playoffs or win a championship just to get back into basketball shape. I just don't think it's worth the – I mean, it's just not worth it.
Okay. All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see. One of our savvy listeners has already pointed out that Daryl and Chris found each other and are following each other as of yesterday. So
on Twitter.
There might be some communication because he's wide open. Because I think he rectified everything with the Heat. He's out there. So we'll see if anybody wants to kick the tires on Chris Bosh this year or if they wait till next year. But there's a missing piece to some puzzles. That guy could come in, and if he's anywhere near what he used to be, to your point, Barry, if is a big if. But if he can play, he could help somebody. We'll just have to see if he lands. Right now, I want to tell you about that red and white team that I'm a big fan of. That roster for the Houston Rockets is absolutely fantastic. They have the best record in the league. And I ask you this question, why wouldn't you want to go out and see them right now? You know, the playoff tickets are going to be around the corner. They're going to be tough to get because this team's expected to go a long way. But right now, you can get 5 tickets to 5 separate games starting as low as $132. That is a deal you need to get on, and you need to get on it quick because they're going fast, but they have 2 packages left, the 3-point package and the slam dunk package, and you can still get in on during All-Star break where you won't miss a game of the 5, and you'll get 5 tickets to 5 games for just $132. The 3-point package is a Spurs matchup included, so you got a great game there. You got the Pistons with Blake Griffin, you got the Hawks, the Suns, and the Blazers, who just beat the Warriors last night. And then the slam dunk package, you get a rematch with the Clippers, albeit without Blake Griffin, but because of that, you get the Pelicans, the Bulls, a good Washington Wizards team, and of course, the only visit this season because of a scheduling quirk for Russell Westbrook and the Thunder. So you get 2 great packages to choose from, same great price, $132 starts you to get 5 tickets to 5 games. All you got to do is call 713-627-DUNK or log on to rockets.com. Get with somebody, a customer service rep for the ticket department or online. Check out the package you want. They'll show you all the options for all the different price ranges, and you can lock in your tickets. It's a great deal, and it's a great way to take the whole family at an affordable price. Check them out. Rockets.com, 713-627-DUNK.